Most of our learning, learning Iyun, generally revolves around finding a proper Hagdorah, a proper definition for different concepts. You have a Machlokes Gemara, you have a Machlokes, you have different Machlokes in Rishonim, and always try to define, we try to make a Hakira and decide exactly what is to try to understand what exactly is the difference between two ideas. To give a Hagdorah, to define precisely and accurately what is it that makes a difference, what's the difference between ideas. In this week's Parsha, we find a Hagdorah, a definition, that had it not been for Chazal and had it not been for the Maharal explaining this, expounding on what Chazal is saying, I wouldn't have realized it. But it seems from Chazal, there's a Pasuk in this week's Parsha that clearly comes to tell us a difference, a major and vital difference between Am Yisrael and the Goyim, Yaakov and Esau. And maybe we can spend a few minutes to try to understand what the difference is. When Rivka is talking to Yaakov Avinu about trying to convince him to masquerade as Esau and try to cut the brachas from Esau to get them, that Yitzchak should give him the bracha as opposed to giving them to Esau, the pasuk says Yaakov answers back, "Vayomer Yaakov, avol Esau achi ish toyim va'anochi ish halak." Esau, my brother, is full of hair. He's a hairy human being. He's full of hair. As opposed to me, I'm smooth. I don't have so much hair on me, so to be obvious, to recognize. So I would have taken that, it would have kind of continued right there. But Chazal and the Medrash, they take this to mean more than the simple understanding of it. And Chazal say in the Medrash as follows: the Blade Yomar, Mashal. The kavat the kireya. This can be compared to, it's a mushal to a kavat, which is somebody, I guess, something like an, has an afro or something, somebody with a lot of, a guy with a lot of hair. The kireya when somebody who's bald. Shayo oimdim al tzvat hagoyer. They're standing on the edge of a silo full of grain. V'ola hamoit b'kavat v'nistabat b'sorei. And I understand that a wind must have come, there must have been a bit of a windy day, and all the chaff, all the wheat started flying up in the air. And these two gentlemen are standing there next to the edge of the silo, and they both become full of hair, full of grain and chaff and all kinds of stuff. Allah hamoit b'kerea, so says Chazal. V'Allah hamoit b'kavot v'nistabet b'sa'oroi. Allah hamoit b'kerea v'notan yoda al-roi sharit v'heavirot. Says Chazal that they're both standing there by the edge of this thing, and the wind blows everything up, and they both end up looking at you. Hey, man, you're covered. You're covered. So the one guy says, oh, no problem, and he kind of wipes it all out. And the other guy, it's all stuck in his hair, and he can't get it out, and he's sitting there picking it. It's terrible. So says the Chazal, Kach Esav HaRasha, Mislach Lech Ba'avoyno Iskoli Moit HaShono, so too Esav becomes filthy with Averis the whole year round. Ve'ein Lo V'meyachafer, and he has no way to be Mechafer himself, to atone, to clean himself off. Aval Yaakov mislachlech ba'avonos kol yom hashana. He gets dirty, he gets full of averus the whole year. Uvo yom kippurim, and comes Yom Kippur, v'yesh lo b'mei yechaper. And he has a way to atone, to clean himself up. Shenemar ki v'yom hazeh yechaper. As we see that as we know that Yom Kippur is the day of kapora, the day of cleaning off, cleansing oneself from averus. So here we have the difference between Esau and Yaakov. Now when I was a kid, on Friday night, my father would make a l'chaim. He'd drink a little bit of vodka, and then he'd leave me a little bit at the end of the cup, and as I got older, he'd give me the cup. Give me my own. And he would say, drink this. He'll put hair on your chest. That's what my father would tell me. Well, I think in Chazal, that might not necessarily be a major shva. I mean, I don't know if it's a ride with my father, because he used to drive a Harley, so it doesn't really matter. But either way, no, I'm not anymore. That is so. But, but Lamaisa, we see here that there's some sort of concept of having here and not having here seems to be a major difference between the two, between Esav and Yaakov. So, but Lamaisa, we have to understand what this is. What does it mean? Like, what's the difference? What's the connection of having here and not having here to Averus and not Averus? And what does it get to with Yom Kippur? What is Yom Kippur? How does Yom Kippur tie in with this concept? The Maharal explains this in a drasha to Shabbat Shuva. He at length explains this medrash. Very fascinating idea, I think. And I would like to precede his words with a saying that I once heard, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all heads, created some heads perfect, and others he put hair on. There's such a saying I've been told before, and I'm starting to understand it more. But the mindset.
You're reaching perfection.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Anyway, so the Maral doesn't say that, but says the Maral, we see in the Pasuk, Yaakov Ishtam. Yaakov is complete, he's Ishtam, he's complete, he's whole. He's not lacking anything, he doesn't have deficiencies, he, so to speak, doesn't need to be upgraded. Yaakov is complete as he is, he doesn't have any problems, he doesn't need anything additional to make him correct. As he is, he's perfect. Yaakov Avinu, as Maral puts it, Nafshoi Tehoira Ukdosha. He was a pure and holy soul, he has a closeness to Hashem Baruch Hu. Every neshama comes from the Tefil Kisei HaKovet. Yaakov Avinu was pure, he was holy, he was Kodesh, he didn't have any deficiencies, he didn't have any technical problems. And even if you do Averus, says the Maral, it's so to speak synonymous with Ish Chalak, it means with the Tam and Chalak, the Maral is saying, go together, and the concept is that even if he does have an Avera, those Averus are external, they're not part of him, they're not part and parcel of him. He's showing as he is, and even if something, so to speak, gets stuck onto him, it's only superficial, it's not really part of him. He's lived with a life close to Akhrish Baruch Hu, he's Tam and he's Chalak, he doesn't have any problems, he's not lacking anything. Whereas Esav is an Ish Sawyer who is intrinsically deficient. He's lacking the essence. His flaws are part and parcel of him. He's not just an external, it's not a side issue. He might put on, so to speak, a facade of being like, you know, Mr. Macho. But the truth is, it's really a cover-up. Because really, he's lacking. He's got destroyness. He's got the avoidance, the avarice that he has become part of him. He's intrinsically distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The avarice changed him, but he's intrinsically distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as opposed to Yaakov Avinu, who's Tom, who's complete. Even if he does have avarice, they don't become part of him, but Ethan. The mashal, what Chazal is telling us in the mashal, is that explains the Maral Esav, who's full of hair, who has external things added to him, he's not just pure, he's not just halak, he's not just smooth on it, but he's got things added to him. When he gets averus, the averus become entwined in him, they can become part of him. He can't get rid of them so fast. They're part of him, you can't just push them off. As opposed to Yaakov Avinu, and so to Am Yisrael, the averus are, so to speak, able to be removed. Even though they might be touching us, we might be full of avers, but we're able to remove those avers because anochi ish halak, they can be taken off, so to speak, as a person wipes his head off. So the true me, so to speak, what I am intrinsically is dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I am, what Yaakov is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm with you. Even if I've got problems, and even if there are things that are separating us, but that's the me intrinsically, I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the true me. The real me is the one who's dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to Esav, who, his problems are intrinsic deficiencies, they're real serious flaws, and can't be just distanced from him by slight of a hand. When Chazal are comparing this to Yom Kippur, the Gemara says in Zvachim that Kippurim, there was the bowl that they used to use in the Beit HaMikdash, were called Kippurei Zav. Kippurei Zav, which literally would mean golden bowls, right? That's what they used to keep the blood in. So say Chazal, why are they called Kippurim? Because the Kohen used to wipe his hand on the edge, his hand would have blood on him, and afterwards he would wipe his hand on the edge of the bowl. And that's how we make Kaneach, that's how we clean his hand off from blood. We see from here that the really Kippurim Zav then refers to the wiping, golden, so to speak, wipes. I mean, imagine that. But anyway, a way of wiping, Kippurim Yom HaKippurim means that the day of Yom HaKinuah is the day of being wiped clean. Wiping our slate clean, because on Yom Kippur is the day that we realize we're coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even the flaws that we do have are not really me, they're all external. Esav, when he gets his hair full of chaff, when he becomes full of avers, he can't just say, okay, they don't come off because they're part of him. Mashen Ken Yaakov Avinu, even when he has them, it's similar to Yom Kippur, when all you do is wipe them clean. Yom HaKippurim is the day of wiping off what's there, because the true me is not the avers. The true me is pure, is tam, is halak, and in Yom Kippur, therefore, can easily, so to speak, remove the avers. We have in Yom Kippur, one of the main avers that was done in Yom Kippur was called Seir HaMishtaleach. They would take, they would, so to speak, put their averus on the seer. They had a, you know, they would do a lottery, which one goes to Kodesh and which one goes to Azazel. And the one that would be for Azazel, they would put the averus, so to speak, on the seer, and then they would send them off. So now, it would look like it's some sort of a korban. But chas v'shalom, we don't bring korbanos to the negative. We don't bring to the sitra or to Azazel. We don't bring korbanos. Rather, it's v'shila. It's called seir hamishtaleh. What you're doing is sending him away, because our averus are external. It's not really part of us. Says the Maharal, all we have to do is, so to speak, put the averus on it and send it. We're not part of it. It's got nothing to do with it. And just get rid of him. Send him away. Send him to Azazel, because it's not shaykh to us. Us is avodas Hashem. Our true self, our true us, our true me is tam, is chalak. It doesn't get intertwined with the averus. Mashenkin by Yom Kippur, we take out the averus and we send them away, because those averus are not really part of us. It seems to be pretty obvious that the Maharal here is referring to a yisoid, which is a known idea, which the Nefesh HaChaim talks about at length. It's a well known idea explaining the relationship with the Eitz Hara prior to the Chet of Adam Rishon and after the Chet of Adam Rishon. It seems to be, from the Rishonim, Rashi writes that after Adam Rishon did the Chet, when he ate from the Eitz Hadat, at that point, Nichnas Boy Yetz Hara. The Yetz Hara, says Rashi, became internalized. It went into him. So says Rashi in more than one place. Explains the Ramban that naturally, a person who do Rasa Hashem, your natural way of doing things, just like nowadays we eat and drink and that comes natural to us, we breathe, these things come natural to us, we don't need to think about it, we don't have to discuss, well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. So too, doing Ratzon Hashem before the Chet of Adam Rishon, the perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world was so clear, it was so obvious that it would never even occur to someone to do anything other than Ratzon Hashem. If a person would take his hand and put it in fire, it's kind of like obvious, like you've got a guy who has to be nuts to do that, right? So it says in Nefesh HaChaim that before the Chet of Adam Rishon, doing anything opposite of Ratzon Hashem is exactly like putting your hand in fire. It's obvious you wouldn't want to do that. Who would want to do such a thing? You have to be nuts. Masha Inkin, after the Chet, and the truth is, it's similar to no havamina. You wouldn't have had a havamina such a thing. It would never occur to you to want to do negative. Obviously, just like a person would never occur to him, maybe I'll put my hand in fire. I mean, it's like somebody saying, you know, I'm not going to. I've been learning for a couple weeks. We had a very sharp seder, something. I'm going to take a couple days. I'm just going to chill, right? It's like saying, you know, for a week, I'm not going to breathe, right? I mean, if a person would say that, lo yala la da, no one recur. I mean, I've been careful speaking Lashon Hara, so, but I just got to tell you one thing. Yeah, I'll just take a hammer, you know, bonk, one time. What's the difference? Like, maybe one more time. Like, what's the difference? A guy's going to tell you, what are you being so from? I'm only hitting myself with a hammer once. What are you, you know, don't be such a frummy. No, it's not. It was back before Chet of Adam Rishon, we felt it as if putting your hand in fire would be just like taking a hammer and banging yourself, because it was so clear, the perception of the control from the world was so obvious that it would never occur to anyone to want to at all, even it would be no sad to want it or feel, have any feeling to do anything other than Ratzon Hashem. And the whole concept that nowadays we say, I want something, I would like to do something negative, is only after the Chet. After the Chet, as Chazal say, Nichnas Boy, and the Gemara says, the Yetzirah was able to internalize himself. Before, as we find in the Sukkim, the Yetzirah was always talked about as he's talking to Adam Rishon, talking to Chava. He was external, and he confronts them and says, listen, here's what I want you to do. And they either just went with him or didn't. But once the Chet happened, it became internalized, it became part of us. Now when I feel I want to do something negative, it feels like it's me. It feels like I want to do it. So even though, say Chazal, it's not really us. Because we would never want to do something against Ratzon Hashem. However, the feeling of feeling, yes, that's me. I feel like I would like to speak Lashon Hara. I want to do this or I want to do that. That comes because the Yetzer Hara has become part of us and he gives us the feeling as if it's me personally I want to do it. I once heard from Rabbi Shapira that a person, so to speak, the Yetzer Hara has got us like puppets. I mean, everything he wants, we move. When he says this, we do. And that's how we feel. He's got us dancing to his beat. I mean, as every feeling we have, the Yetzer Hara wants us to feel, we feel it. And we following his every move, so to speak, because it's become part of us. What we don't realize is that really it's not us. It's really something external that was put into us and making us feel like we wanted to obey it. I remember when I was a kid, in second or third grade, we learned Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. And the one in the beginning of the first siman, Shulchanov discusses how he's gabber kari, when a person wakes up in the morning, he should be misgabber to, like, to do ratzon Hashem, he should be like a lion, etc. And the Shulchanov writes, I think it's another storm too, but I remember learning this as a kid in Kitzur, and he says, and when the Yetzer confronts you and says, it's cold, it's winter, stay in bed, it's too cold to get outside, out of bed, under the blanket, you tell the Yetzer, no, I'm going to get up. And then the Yetzer is going to come to you in the summer when it's hot outside. He's going to say, you're still tired, stay in bed. And he says to the Yetzer, make sure you tell him, no, I'm going to get up and you're going to be misgabber kari by the Yetzer. So I was a pretty tmimistic kid. I wasn't looking for any trouble. So I learned Mishabura. Mishabura says, the kids from Rav says, you know, I waited for that guy to show up. I say, no problem, I'm ready for him. Okay, buddy, I'm ready for you. When you come and you tell me don't get out of bed, I'm going to jump out of bed like an Ari, like you're supposed to do. You know, what they didn't tell me was that it doesn't work that way. You don't get confronted by Yitzhahara. When you're lying in bed and you feel really tired and you know you got to get up, just 5 more minutes. That's the Eitz HaHara confronting you, so to speak, and saying, don't get out of bed. Before the Chet of Adam Rishon, that wouldn't have happened. Before the Chet of Adam Rishon, you would have automatically jumped up, and then you would have had this shmendrik standing there, hey man, don't go, you gotta go back to bed. So yeah, punch him in the nose, you go by it, right? You go to dominate. But nowadays, we don't feel that way. Nowadays, he doesn't confront us externally, he confronts us internally, and it feels like it's me. It feels like I want to get up late for dominating, I want to do whatever it is I'm supposed to, I feel like I want to do, but what Rabbi Segner are teaching us is that really that it's something that's been put on us, it's put into us, it's been internalized, but it's not really us. So, what do you do? The truth is, what the Maharal then is teaching us, is that what Yom Kippur stands for is that not, even though, and here's the Chiddush I think the Maharal is teaching us, that even though it's true that the Yetzer Hara has been internalized, it's still not me. It might feel like me. It might feel like we want to do something and we feel, hey, man, let's go do again for Ratzon Hashem. And it feels like we want to. Says the Maharal, no, it's still not you. It's not really you. It's somebody who's got something stuck on him and you've got to get it off of you. But by Esau, it might be him. That might be him intrinsically. It becomes part of him. It becomes intertwined with him. It's him. Mashenkin says the Maharal, but by Yaakov Avinu, it's not that way. Yaakov, even the negative, even wants to become part of him, so to speak, and become internalized, it's still only a confrontation. It's only external. I mean, it's not part of you. It's been internalized, but it's not really us. Dover Zar is something strange that has been put inside us, and he's trying to get us to feel some way. But says the Maharal, it's not really, it's still not us. It's still not really us. And that's what we have to realize. The more we can realize the perception, the clearer perception we'll have that of Ratzon Hashem being the only way, realizing the Ein Mavod and strengthening ourselves on that emunah, we can always be able to, so to speak, confront even that internalized feeling and say, no, it's not, I want to do Ratzon Hashem, I don't want to be, I'm able to wipe it off. The it would seem, as we see in the Gemara by Yom Kippur, by means of the Sukkot Yom Kippur. So one korban, the one seer, got sent to Azazel. What about the other one? Says the Maharal, the other one gets taken to where you never go the rest of the year. He goes into the Beit HaMikdash. The blood, that one, Nefesh, we take ourselves, we take the blood of the Seir, so to speak, being corresponding with us, the blood of a Seir, is similar, says the Maharal, to the blood of a human being. When they killed Yosef, they took the blood of the Seir because it's similar to. So says the Maharal, you take the blood of the Seir and you go where you never go. You go inside, lifnai v'lifnim, the innermost point where you can't go in more. And you say, what's really me? It's not that I sent away. Get rid of that. What's me is lifnai v'lifnim. I'm coming close to Akash Borel, I'm saying Akash Borel, when you are running the world, you are all there is. There is nothing else. And even if it looks the whole year, if throughout the year I'm slachlet bechet, as the Medrash says, and the whole year I get chaff and stuff full all over me, that's not really me. Really me is to get rid of it and to go to tonight listening. Go into the innermost point, the closest point where a person can be with Akash Borel, and that Akash Borel, I'm with you. This is the real me. This is the real me. The real me is what's not with him with Akash Borel, not to be, not what it might look like outside. These are things we should be misbinding. When we daven, when we eat, when we learn, always think about it. David HaMelech says, "Va'ani sefila." Me, what's really me? Sefila. My true self is nothing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My true self is learning Torah, is doing the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're eating, whatever you're doing, even doing business, walking down the street, catching a bus. But we have a clear perception. What really is me is not the external stuff. It's not the stuff that looks like what's happening. But really what's happening is to realize we're supposed to live on the side of the finish. We're supposed to really be deeper in a place where we live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And such a person who has that perception can is a remedy to, so to speak, realize what's the true meaning, get the real feeling of what he's supposed to be doing. So to speak, when we're walking around the way we are, we have to remember we're not Esau in front looking close. Right? That's not our job. We're not just supposed to be looking through. Right? We're different. Esau is intrinsic. Part and parcel of Esau is to be what he is, but we are part and parcel of Davik and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nafshoi, Tehoiro, Kedosha, LaYaakov Avinu, our etzem, our intrinsic self, what we are really is part of Davik and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the true me, even if sometimes we get to feel it differently. The Gemara says, by Yom Kippur, Rabbi Kiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lefnei Mi Atem Metarim. It's referring to Yom Kippur, says the Gemara, the end of Yuma brings it. Lefnei Mi, how do you become Torah? Says Rabbi Kiva, you want to know how to really be Metar in Yom Kippur? The way of becoming Torah in Yom Kippur is Avichem Shabashamayim. Remember, the way of becoming, being Lefnei Lefnim. Realize that Avichem Shabashamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's the source of everything. He's the true, that's really where the me belongs. My true me, my true self is really supposed to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the clearer perception we have, that closer we are to Avichem Shabashamayim, of living a life and focusing on Avichem Shabashamayim, so a person can come to have a remedy and getting rid of what might seem like being me. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Darash Rabbi Yehuda va'asid lavoi meviyo HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'etzahara. In the future days, hopefully soon, HaKadosh Baruch will bring the Yetzahara v'shotetoi v'tnei ha'tzadikim v'tnei rishayim, and he's going to shech them in front of the tzadikim and the rishayim. And the Gemara discusses what's going to happen. Then a little later the Gemara says, Darash Abavira v'tem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Shiva Shemar yesh lo le'etzahara. There are seven names that the Yetzahara has. And the Gemara then mentions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him Ra, bad. Moshe gave him the name Orel, David gave him the name Tomei, and the Gemara mentions all seven names, different names that the Yetzirah have, and the different people that gave him these names. Then the Gemara says, the seventh one, Yoel, the Novi Yoel, Koroi Tzvoini, the hidden one. Shenemar v'tzvoini artik me'aleichem, I'll distance the Tzvoini from you. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana, v'tzvoini artik me'aleichem. What does that mean, Tzvoini? Says the Gemara, this is the Yetzahara, Shesafun, that is hidden, the Oymed, the Liboy Shel Adam. The Yetzahara, that Yetzahara, which La'asid Lavo is going to be brought and be shechted, that Yetzahara, the seventh name, is Tzvoini. Tzvoini means he's deep down. He's hidden in the hearts of man, lurking in the hearts of man is the Yetzahara. That's the Tzvoini. And says, I heard one from Moshe Shapira, that the other names are all, so to speak, external names. They're all names that a person comes and confronts you. He says, look, I want you to do, I'm bad, I want you to do this, I'm a tummy, I want you to do this. The only one which is internalized is Tzvoini. The name of the Yetzirah, which it's Tzofun Beliba Shel Adam, that's the seventh one, that's the one that Yoel called the Yetzirah, the one that is deep down in your heart. And as we said, because you don't even realize that he's there. He's so deep, it feels like it's me. It feels like it, and that's the one that will be coming in Shechet. As the Gemara says, it's a Tzvoini Arfik Me'alechem, I will distance that Yetzirah. What's going to be the end of day, well, the lovely, I'm going to take that Yetzirah, which is deep down inside you, it looks just like you. That Yetzirah I'm going to extract, and we're going to shech them, because that's, and we're going to see who the real me is. The true me, the one who lives with Avichem Shabbat Shemayim, who lives with the light of the Tnai Gosnim, that's the true one, and I'm going to remove him, and that will be what happened at the end of the day. Now, boys, I got to keep in mind, it's not a game. It's not a game. This is what's going to happen. I once read somewhere from Talmidei Baal Shem Tov that writes, probably from the Baal Shem Tov, that at last loving, they're so to speak, in the final stage, in the final quarter of the world, there won't be so many major miracles that are gonna get us all excited. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not gonna do a crazy Yom Tov, and he's not gonna do it in time. At the end of the day, the ones that are gonna hold out are those the Hevemunah. And the ones that have emuna are the ones that have internalized HaKadosh Baruch Hu as part of them. They live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when the world is not having Kriyas Yam Suf, even when it looks like things are going opposite. But the ones that are going to last at the end are going to be the ones that have the emuna, the ones that realize that Avichim Shabbat Shemayim is what really I am. The ones that can live with an emuna and they can live a life of Lifnai V'Lifnim and have a clear perception that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lifnai V'Lifnim. I'm always Lifnai V'Lifnim. I'm always living with a perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that my true me is bigger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think if we will be zoichah to all live a life of Lifnai V'Lifnim, we should be zoichah soon, Mr. Hashem, to the shifting of the Sahara Zaha. Distancing of the tzfaini miziboy shel adam, and which is therefore be a good tzedek and hair of main holy.
Thank you
for listening. Guys, go there and don't
bother me. What's the difference between the
there is eternal part of it. That's what I'll say.